Our Father, we come to you once again to ask you to please speak to us through your holy word today. I pray your Holy Spirit will do a work in us. And Lord, we will encounter you. We will experience you in a very personal and real way. Bless the reading and the proclamation of your word to our hearts today. And let us receive with thanksgiving the engrafted word of God. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message will be message 2 in this series on the subject of heaven. I began the series last Sunday morning out of John's Gospel, chapter 14. And there we learned two things, very simple things, but things we need to understand. Number one is that heaven is a prepared place where you and I hope to go someday based on the Word of God and our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is a beautiful, wonderful place that Jesus Christ said in John 14 that He has gone to prepare for all of those who have a personal relationship with Him. But not only did we learn that heaven is a prepared place, we learned that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. You'll never get there apart from Jesus Christ. No one will ever get to heaven where God is apart from Jesus. Jesus said when He was asked one day, Lord, how do we get to where you're going? And He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, no person coming to the Father but by me. You have to go through Jesus and the new birth experience in order to get to heaven. But when one gets to heaven, what will it be like? Well, I want to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. We're going to read one verse of Scripture here in the book of the Revelation this morning, and then we're going to another text that we will settle down in for the rest of the message. But I want you to see this from Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And so from here on out, probably we're going to be in the book of the Revelation because John, the great apostle John, was banished to the Isle of Patmos, approximately A.D. 95, I think it was. And he was there on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And while John was banished on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus Christ gave him the revelation, the book that we read, the book of the Revelation. And the things that this book contains, Jesus allowed John to see these things. And one of the things that John was able to see at that time from the Isle of Patmos was the eternal residence of the redeemed. The eternal residence of the redeemed. That is where God's people are going to spend eternity forever and ever and ever. And so today we'll begin with this one verse, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. So read along with me if you have your copy of God's Word and you're looking there. And I saw, John said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, there, according to this verse, there will still be some preparation made for this place where we as God's people are going to spend eternity. Now, chronologically, what we just read out of Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, falls in after the second coming of Christ to this earth, where He will literally be on this earth and reign for 1,000 years. There is the second coming of Christ, then there's the millennial reign of Christ, then there's the great white throne judgment of God, and then all of those who will be judged at the great white throne judgment, who are the wicked people of the world, they will be then cast into the lake of fire. This verse comes after all of that. And so John says here in this verse of Scripture that he saw this. He saw a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. And so what we see here is the disappearance of the existing heaven, earth, and sea. Now, it's interesting that Isaiah prophesied of this. Look at, for just a moment, look at Isaiah 65, 17. If you don't want to turn, I'll just read it. But it says, "For behold, I create new heavens," plural, "and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." Did you hear that? He says, and this is a prediction by Isaiah, which we know God's word is true. And so he says, "For behold, I create new heavens." This is God speaking. "I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former," that is the existing heaven and earth that we know now, he says, "the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." And so in preparation for this awesome place that God's people will spend eternity, God says that he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. In other words, this existing earth that we know and the existing heaven, which I believe refers to the atmospheric heaven that surrounds the earth, I think that is what is going to eventually be destroyed. And Isaiah says it will not be remembered anymore. Isn't that an awesome thing? And this thing, listen, we think we have it good down here. Those of us who make a good living and we have all that we need in life and sometimes all that we want in life, we think life is pretty good. And to be honest with you, it is good. God has blessed us. He has blessed us with many material things, with money, with health. There's so many different blessings that we have. But listen, this life is nothing compared to the life to come. Nothing. I mean, this place is nothing compared to what this new heaven and this new earth is going to be like. And so we see here in this verse, John is talking about the disappearance of the existing heaven and earth. And as we shall see, the heaven and earth that we know now will no longer exist. Now, John does not describe how or when this event takes place. However, we do find information in another portion of Scripture found in the book of 2 Peter. And if you're a Bible student, if you're studying the book of the Revelation, you will just naturally go to this text in 2 Peter. If you're studying this text in Revelation chapter 21, you'll have to go to 2 Peter because there in 2 Peter, he tells us how all of this is going to take place. So open your Bibles now to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, I'm going to cover this whole chapter. You say, we'll be here all day. No, hopefully not. But rather than me reading the whole chapter and coming back and explaining, I want to just begin reading, and I'll just read a section at a time, and then I'll share what I want to share with you from the text. But I want you to notice that from this text, Peter, in this chapter, Peter admonishes his readers to do three things. Three things. Notice what they are. I'll give them to you first. Those are the three main points I want you to see from the text. The first one is found in verse 2. He says that you may be mindful. He says, number one, be mindful. Number two, he says, look at it down in verse 8. He said, beloved, be not ignorant. In other words, he's saying, be informed. And then thirdly, look on over in the latter part of the chapter, verse 14, he says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. And so those are the three things we're going to look at this morning. First of all, he says in verse 2, be mindful. Let's begin reading the text. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, which was referring to Old Testament prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now, what I want you to see is he says, be mindful of three things. First of all, he says, be mindful of the word of God. He says, I want to put you in remembrance, and I want you to be mindful of the words which were spoken, number two, of the Old Testament prophets. Now, why was he doing that? Because what he was about to tell them about the dissolving and of the old earth that we live on today, he says, I want you to know the Old Testament prophets prophesied of this, such as Isaiah. The Old Testament prophets prophesied of this. What I'm about to tell you, you can read from the Old Testament. At that time, that's all that they had. And so he says, I want you to refer back to the prophets. And then he said, be mindful of the commandments of the New Testament apostles, because they too spoke of these end time events. And he says, why is that? Why? And I asked myself the question, okay, why would he do that? Because the word of Almighty God is authoritative. It is reliable. It is authoritative. We have no other grounds or basis for what we believe or what we teach other than the written, holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God. And so he says, be mindful of the word of God. Secondly, he says, be mindful of scoffers. Look at what he says in verses 3-7. He says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Referring to the coming of Christ. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Peter is saying, these scoffers, they are ignorant. They're willingly ignorant of the word of God, that the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water, talking about the flood, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And so he's saying, be mindful of these scoffers. Number one, they will come. You might as well get ready for it. They're coming. They will walk after their own lust, their own evil desires. They will laugh and they will mock at the notion that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Then he said they are willingly and ignorant of God's past judgment on the world. You know, I remember the words of Jesus over in Matthew's gospel in chapter 24. Listen to this. As he was talking about his return to this world. And he says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, that is before God brought judgment on the world by water or with water, he says, before the flood they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, what he is saying is simply this, that the generation of people that are living in the end days, the last days, right before the coming of the Lord, will have the same mindset and attitude that those did back in the day before Noah, before God brought the flood. And Noah, the Bible says, Noah was a man of righteousness, and he was a preacher of the, listen, he was a preacher of the word of God. And he stood and he preached to those people and told them there was coming a flood, and they mocked and they scoffed and they laughed at him until the flood came and they all died and perished in their sin. It's the same way today. People think, oh, geez, I've heard this all my life. Just like these scoffers in the New Testament. I've heard all of my life. Oh, generation after generation has said, you know, I've heard from my grandfather and then my father before him and all along, on and on. I've heard over and over, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Hadn't come yet. That's what they thought in Noah's day. It's ridiculous to think about there'd be a flood in this world and destroy the world. What do you mean? You're crazy. You're crazy. Wasn't crazy. He wasn't crazy. He knew what he was talking about because God had given him the word. God has given us a word this morning from this text. And we don't need to be ignorant. We need to be informed that this day is coming. This day is coming. And so he says, be mindful that of these scoffers, for they are willingly ignorant of God's coming judgment. And then he says, be mindful of God's plan. Look at what he says in verse 7. He says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He says, be mindful of God's plan there in verse 7. What is God's plan? God's plan is to destroy this world. God has reserved the heavens and the earth for judgment. As one commentator states, and I quote, God is simply holding the earth on layaway. Isn't that interesting? God is simply holding the earth on layaway. It is reserved, that is, it is being stored up like a treasure for fire and kept, quartered, or held for judgment. And just as the flood came, this event is going to come, where this world as we know it will be destroyed. No more. That's hard for us to comprehend, but it's what the Bible says, and I believe it. Just as God intervened in the Old Testament and destroyed the world by water, God will intervene in human history and destroy the world by fire. Now, I want you to notice the second thing. He said, first of all, be mindful. And then he says in verses 8 through 13, be informed. Be informed. Look at what he says now. He says, verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant. You need to be informed. Don't be ignorant. Be informed of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Are you listening at this? Here's the event. Here's how the world as we know it is going to be destroyed. It'll pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And that verse right there corresponds with Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, where it says, we will have a new heaven and a new earth. And so he says, secondly, be informed. Be informed about what? Number one, he says, God sees time differently than man. God's timetable is not like ours. He says there in verse 8, he says, the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day with the Lord. You see, people see time against time. But God sees time against eternity. We can't see eternity like God does. We can only try to fathom what that's like. You know, we try to, and we do that by thinking about, well, what will it be like living here forever and ever and ever and ever, never dying? When you get to heaven, you don't have to die anymore. Death is part of that which passes away. There's no more death in heaven. But he says, be informed that God sees time differently than man. Secondly, be informed that God has a purpose in delaying his return. Look at what he says in verse 9. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness. In other words, Jesus Christ promised that he would return. And even though these many people are scoffing and mocking and saying, look at all these many years that have passed by and Jesus has still not come, he's not going to come. He says, yes, he's coming. He says he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering, watch this, is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know why Jesus Christ hadn't come yet? Because he's waiting on people like you and me who do not know him to get right with him. And the deal is, in God's foreknowledge and in him being so omniscient, he is omniscient, he knows all things, God knows exactly who's lost and who's saved. And God knows whether or not the lost are ever going to be saved. He knows who's going to come to Him and who isn't. And one of these days, there's going to be one final sermon preached. There's going to be one final witness given. And when the last witness is given and the final sermon is preached, and God knows that there's nobody else is going to come, then guess what? He's coming. He's coming. And nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. So God has a purpose in delaying His return. He's allowing those who are lost time to get saved. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. We never know when Jesus is going to come. Nobody knows. Jesus said in Matthew 24, He says, no one knows that day or the hour. He's going to come as a thief in the night. When you least expect it, He's going to come. Thirdly, He said, be informed that the day of the Lord is sure. The day of the Lord is sure in verse 10. Look at what He says. But the day of the Lord will come. It will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The day of the Lord will come unexpectedly as a thief in the night. You can be sure about that. You need to be informed about that. Now, what is the day of the Lord? Well, the day of the Lord is the time and the events that take place between the rapture and the culmination of everything. Everything is finished in the very end. That's the day of the Lord. And brother, after the rapture takes place, listen, after the rapture takes place, all hell is going to break loose on this earth. It's going to be what we commonly refer to as the Great Tribulation. There's going to be, they say 7 years, but the first 3.5 years is going to be a period of peace. But at the end of that three and a half year period, the Antichrist is going to break covenant, and he's going to enter the temple. And the last 3.5 years is going to be, listen, it's going to be hell on this earth. And if you don't believe it, read the book of the Revelation. Read from Revelation chapter 4, where John is caught up into heaven. You read Revelation chapter 4 down to Revelation 21:1 and see what you find. You will find there's going to be judgment on this earth like no one has ever seen. Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, when he was talking about end time events, he said there's coming a tribulation period like this world has never, ever experienced or known. Now listen to this. Not only will the day of the Lord come unexpectedly as a thief in the night, but the day of the Lord will be cataclysmic. Look at what he says in verse 10. He says, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, I don't know what you think about when I think about that, but I think about nuclear war. I think about nuclear war. And it's still being taught among national leaders. Could it be that man is going to destroy himself? Time will tell. I do know this. I do know it's going to happen just like it says in the Word. I do know that the heavens shall pass away. The atmospheric heavens that we know is going to pass away with a great noise. Interesting that it includes that, a great noise. And then the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth, the water, the air, the fire, all of that is going to melt with fervent heat. And the work in the earth and the works in it shall be burned up, the Bible says. It says the earth and the works in it shall be burned up. The heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I came across this term. I thought it was so neat because I've never seen it or heard it before. Remember, the verse in Revelation 21:1 says that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Well, just because this world is going to be destroyed doesn't mean that there's not going to be an earth. There's going to be an earth. But the Bible says there's going to be a new earth. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to be heavenized. I'd never seen that word before. I love that word. Don't you like that, Pruitt? Heavenized. Earth is going to be heavenized. What does that mean? That means that heaven is going to come to earth. It's going to be totally different. It's not going to be like we know it now. I can't imagine anything any more beautiful than some of the places that we have on this earth right now. But the Bible says that, listen, when the world that we know is destroyed, there'll be no more earth, there'll be no more atmospheric heaven as we know it, and there'll be no more sea. There'll be no more sea. Now, we can't imagine the world being without the seas that we have, but listen, the Bible says there'll be no more sea. I don't know why God chooses to do that. I read one person who wrote that it's because he wants to expand the ground area where there'll be more people and so forth. I don't know why God is going to do that. And I really, you want to know the truth? I really don't care. All I want to know is that I'm getting there. I want to be there. I want to enjoy that. And so it's going to be awesome, folks. We can't imagine what this new earth is going to be like. And listen, you need to hold on now because we're going to learn some wonderful things about eternity, about living with God in eternity. So I hope the Lord will allow me to share this rest of this series with you. So you just pray and ask God to give me direction, and I'm going to share what He lays on my heart. But the Bible says that earth will be heavenized. And there's a fourth thing that He says here that that believers should be mindful of. And that is that, listen, Christians see the day approaching. As we as believers see the day approaching, we need to be motivated to live godly, and holy lives. Look at verses 11 and 12. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. In other words, they're going to come to pass. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, His word, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so He says, number one, be mindful. Number two, be informed. And number three, He says, be diligent. Let's look finally at verses 14 through 18. He says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our blood brother Paul, as according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing then ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now I want you to notice four things here from this text, from verses 14 through 18. Number one, He says, be diligent. Number one, be diligent to live godly and be at peace with God, man, and self. Verse 15. Number two, be diligent in witnessing as Paul did. Look at what he says there in that verse. He says, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. What is he saying? He said, God is prolonging His return dissolving of the existing heavens and earth for a reason, for people to be saved. You need to be out witnessing and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, even as our brother Paul has been doing, according to the wisdom given unto him, and he hath written unto you. You need to be out witnessing. So be diligent in witnessing as Paul did. In verse 17, be diligent to remain steadfast. He said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware, lest ye also, being led away when the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Do you know that you can fall from being steadfast in the Lord? Did you know that a believer can backslide? Did you know that a believer can get out of the will of God? And there are believers in our churches today, and I say church is plural. There are believers in churches today that are living out of the will of God. They're not walking in obedience to God's word. They're dabbling with this and dabbling with that. He said, you need to beware lest you fall and you get out of fellowship with God and you're not obedient to Him and you're not walking in obedience to His word. You're not following His will. You need to beware and you need to make some adjustments in your life. There's some people that are not willing to give up their sin, and those who say they believe, but they're dabbling around in sin and not willing to give it up, there's something desperate wrong in their relationship with Jesus. It could be they don't have one. He says, be diligent to remain steadfast. And finally, he says, be diligent to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ there in verse 18. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so, just as Peter admonished them to be mindful, just as he admonished them to be informed, and just as he admonished them to be diligent, all of these admonishments are applicable to each of us today. Everything he had to say then is relevant for us today. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and the world in which we know today, according to Revelation 21:1, is going to pass away. Won't be anymore. It won't even be remembered. Isn't that something? According to Isaiah, in the verse we read there in Isaiah. So, we need to check up. We always need to check up. Be sure that we're right with the Lord. That we're saved. And if we're saved, we need to be walking in obedience to Him. And if we're not, then we need to make some decisions this morning. The altar will be open. I'll be here to greet you and help you. Any way that I can, Joe was here, we will help you. But folks, listen, just as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting where you're sitting today, Jesus Christ is coming again. And just as sure as this old world is turning and it exists, and the atmospheric heavens still existing, one of these days, what we know now will be gone. Be no more. And I don't know about you, but I want to be certain. Because I don't know the future. Because the Bible says today's the day of salvation. Everyone needs to be certain and know that they have a relationship with Christ. Know they're walking in obedience to Him. I don't want to be ashamed when Jesus comes. I really don't. I don't want to hold my head in shame before my Lord and start apologizing for what I've done here and what I've done that. I want to be able to meet Him with all of my sins confessed, knowing that His blood has covered all of my sins and I have been clothed in His righteousness. And He can say unto me, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into thy rest. Can we say that this morning? That we know, that we know, that we know, that we know that Jesus is our Savior and Lord. Not because we've been baptized, not because we've made some public profession of faith, but because we know Jesus and we know that He knows us. Because we go to Him on a regular basis. We commune with Him. We communicate with Him and He communicates with us. We have a relationship, a standing, firm relationship with Jesus Christ.